time. And good evening. My name is Bernie. For all the new time visitors, there's a lot of faces I do not recognize or know. It's really nice to have you in the house of the Lord. So this evening, I'm going to share a little bit on trusting the Spirit of the Lord. Amen, sister. Being led by the Spirit. And the reason I'm sharing this evening is not because I was pulling a rabbit out the hat. It's something that the Lord's been speaking to us at intercession, and it's something that I'd like to speak about. I really believe this is led by the Lord, and I really hope that this will be helpful this evening. Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is known as the Beatitudes, Jesus speaking here. There's a whole lot of blessed, so I sort of jumped halfway into the blessings of the blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Isn't that awesome? You want to see God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So this evening I'm going to focus on a few things. You remember, for those of you that were here a while back, you can get on the internet if you're a visitor or weren't here that evening. We put all our sermons on the net. I spoke about meekness. Can anyone remember that? Meekness? Yes, sort of, not really. Slept through it, sorry Bernie. I gave a little summary of meekness. Serving the Lord with absolute authority in the fear of God, submitted in honor, humility, and wisdom, while maintaining perfect self-control. And I put my own name there because it doesn't come like that in Scripture. If you go listen to the sermon, you'll see why I give that explanation as meekness. Simply put, if you go to the original Greek word, sorry, tense. New time visitors, there's a shorter, about my size guy, spiritually way bigger. His name's Tiens, he's our senior pastor here. And in any case, the Greek word for meekness is a war horse. And it's the scene of a war horse going to war 100% submitted under the rider. That's meekness. See, the difference between an untrained horse and a war horse is the following. That when that arrow is shot by, a war horse keeps on straight because he's submitted to his rider. An untrained horse will immediately bolt or buck, and therefore will not be able to go to war or to battle. That is meekness. But since we've already had that sermon, we're moving on. The Lord's laid on my heart. Let's take a step back. In the last 2 weeks, we've been praying for the five P's. Now, this is not something that we just put five P's together. It's the Lord, what we do is we stand in a circle. Let me explain to you how intercession works, so if you'll come and join us. We stand in a circle and we pray for a little while and we ask the Lord to come and speak to us. And then the Lord will give us different visions and different scriptures. And there'll be always confirmation of those scriptures and those visions. And then we take those words and then we pray through them. So the five words that we've been praying over the last 2 weeks is preparation, something that we have been preaching about. Perseverance, which we've definitely been preaching about. Purity, peace, and predators. Those are the five things the Lord has been speaking to us about. And as Scripture says, that a watchman on the wall has to bring the warning. So you can receive this as an encouragement, or you can receive this as a bit of a warning this evening. I think this is a more encouraging word, to be honest. Otherwise, the blood's on my hands. So I just want to get the blood off my hands, and then I can go home and sleep well tonight. Joke. Sorry. Okay. So those are the five things that we've been praying for. God is so faithful. So one of the words that actually came out this Thursday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, when we were all together praying, it feels like it to me, is the word predator. And we really prayed through this word. And later on that day, Calvin, who is the caretaker of this place, came and said to me, but there's again another hole in the roof. Now, if you've noticed, we've got leaking damp problems everywhere. The reason we have leaking damp problems everywhere is in old buildings, the tiles that they used, right? Underneath the tiles, they put in copper sheets. Anyone? Ah, thank you. Copper sheets. Copper sheets are worth a lot of money. So we've had a lot of people climbing on our roof, bashing down, breaking the tiles to steal the copper sheets. Predators. And boy, did we pray that there'll be no more predators, not knowing that we've actually physically had predators on this property. You see, when you're led by the Holy Spirit is always faithful. One of the visions that Adelis Michelle had last Thursday morning was that of a rowing boat. Can we show the rowing boat picture? Right. Shall I talk a bit about rowing, or do you want to watch a clip first? Wow. Thank you. God bless. Good night. All right. Can we show that clip, please? We don't have to play it again. It's all about that bass. About that bass. No treble. So the vision the Lord gave Alice Michelle was of guys like that. Now that was a competition between Harvard and someone else. But there's a story I actually want to tell you about, because I really believe it depicts what the Lord's speaking. There was a movie, yes, there was always a movie, called True Blue, brought out in 1996. Most of you were not born then. Or you were on the dummy. Joke. So in 1996, a movie came called True Blue, which you've never heard of, came out. And it's the true life story about the mutiny of 1987 Oxford rowing team. You see, there's a competition called the boat race. Very famous race. If you're in London, if you've ever been in London, you have heard of the boat race. It is sacred to us British. You do not mess with the boat race. And what happened that year in 1987 was they brought in a new coach, and this coach was American, and he had a bit of a different idea about the rowing. And he had two teams, because you always have two teams that you're training. And the first team, who was obviously the better team, had a great problem. There was no meekness. They were arrogant. They were British. But they were very arrogant. And they started striving amongst one another. And so what the captain decided, at least what the coach decided, was that he was going to take some of the B team guys and put them in the A team. And this A team decided there's no ways we're going to row with B team rowers. Hence the mutiny. The whole team pulled out. Now that's massive. It puts pressure on the Oxford University. It put pressure on the coach. And there's a scene in this movie, sort of what I'm after here, where the three of them are standing together, and this British guy is explaining that there's no ways that this team can win, this B team. And the reason they can't win is because in those final laps, they won't have the strength to finish strong. And the coach, if I remember the movie right, the coach actually steps in and he says, I will rather have a team that stands in unity than a team that is anointed or very good as individuals. So Alice has this vision of this rowing boat. Now, something you'll notice about the rowing boat is that everyone looks the wrong way. Isn't that so true about life? Doesn't it feel like you're looking the wrong way? Sort of going upstream? It does so for me sometimes. But there's one person that looks the right way. He sits in the stern of the boat, and he's called the coxswain, C-O-X. And his role is the following. He's the one that keeps the tempo. He's the one that steers the boat. And he's the one that ensures that there's unity amongst the team while they're rowing. And that for me depicts so beautifully what the Holy Spirit does with us. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes and sits in our boat and gets us all on the same page. Are you with me tonight? Have you ever noticed how doves fly? When they're flying in a group. Have you ever noticed that they all turn at the same time? Anyone? We're in Cape Town. You should have seen that by now. You also see the deposits that they leave in your car afterwards. Have you ever wondered, who's the one that says, all right, left, everyone? Okay, right now. Okay, up, down. It looks like they're flying like fighter jets, but like all over the show. But something tells everyone to turn at the same time. I believe that's a great way of seeing the Holy Spirit work amongst us. You see, a surfer can understand the Holy Spirit very well. If you're too early when you're paddling for that wave, you're not going to get it. If you're too late, you're going to go over the falls. You have to be in that right space to understand the wave. God has a specific place for you to be at a specific time so that you can flow in the Holy Spirit. Let's get back to Scripture. John 3. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And this is the part I really want us to focus on. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When last have you felt that you've been blown by the Holy Spirit? When last have you had a moment where you feel, I'm here. This God put me here right now. I love it what Brendan was saying when he was taking up the collection. You know that if you close your purse, then that's a place the Holy Spirit can't use you in. If you close up your time, that's a place the Holy Spirit can't blow in. Simple, there's not going to be much wind blowing in this building. Why? Because it's closed off. So many places in our lives, we're closing off space for the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, we're asking God, why can't we hear you? Why are you not moving? Is that not so? We sometimes seek because we are hungry for God. I doubt it if there's anyone sitting here. You will not be sitting here if you don't want God. That's why you come to church. That's why we come to celebrate together, to worship together. But so many of us put ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can't use us. The Lord gave me a vision a few years ago. Before I go there, a few things about water often represents the Holy Spirit. Wind often represents the Holy Spirit. And fire often represents the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Another thing, often if you just little something that might help you in some of your dreams. I know a lot of you guys are having dreams. If you ever dream of a horse, it often represents the Holy Spirit. Meekness. The Holy Spirit is very meek. Let's read a bit more scripture. Isaiah 48. I have refined you. But not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Sometimes we go through really hard times in our lives, tough patches, as many of us have either gone through this year already or still going through. Because there's a refining that must happen. Zechariah, one of my favorite books in the scripture, I'm sure you all have memorized Zechariah, out of your hearts. And I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and they will try them as gold is tried. They shall come in my name, they shall come on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. The Lord gave me a vision a few years ago in Stellenbosch in the church there. And it was of a horse. And this horse came to a city, but he could not enter the city. And the next scene, there's this blacksmith, and this metal has been smacked. Can we show that picture, the next one? And this metal has been put in this fire. It's been purified, and it's been beaten until it becomes that horseshoe. You see, a horse is not made to walk on cobble ground. The city I saw had cobblestones everywhere. The horse can't handle that on his feet. And the Lord said so clearly to me, he said to me, we are the horseshoe. You see, the Lord wants to shape you, bend you in that place that he can use you. And when we use the word use, it's a very negative word. It's a bad word. So I don't want to use the word use. God doesn't use us. We're not some secondhand tissue that the Lord blows his nose and throws us away. That's not the use. You see, God anoints, he appoints, he prepares, and he sends. That's the God that we serve. God doesn't use you. So if I use the word use, please think of anoint, point, all those beautiful things. So many of us are going through hard times and going through struggles and going through things because we're still being purified by the Lord in the fire. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit really, 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 really wants to partner with you. But we've got to come out of the place where we're in the building, where we can come into the place where the wind is blowing. And just to prove that a wind can blow in a building, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. Speaking about the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's heart is that we move as the same and more so than in the original church, than the early church. God has given us the Holy Spirit to partner with us. But you see, it can't be on your terms. It has to be on the Lord's terms. When last in your diary have you made space for the Holy Spirit? When last have you made an appointment with the Holy Spirit during your lunch? During a phone call? During your driving to work, driving home from work? See, the Holy Spirit is an absolute gentleman, an absolute gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. God's heart is not to force himself upon you. You get what you ask for. So be careful what you ask. A few testimonies from my life. Before we get to the testimonies, it's very interesting for me to watch church. I don't know, I'm not going to call it a compliment because it's definitely not a compliment. But this evening, I'm just going to be real and honest. Apparently, some people in this church are scared of me. It came out the last 2 weeks. I'm dealing with it. I'm offended. I'm hurt. But I'll get over it. I'm going to tell you why. So people, I don't know, they all think I see spirits or ghosts or something all the time. Drink tea with the angels every day. Something like that. But it's not at all what happens. It's not how it works. But I can tell you something. There's an anointing on my life. I'm going to explain that anointing. God one day came and spoke to me. And this is something that you can learn. You see, God comes and tells you who you are and why he's created you. He's good that way. He has a plan and purpose. Now, for two reasons, the Lord won't be telling you who you are and what he's called you for. Only two reasons. One is fear is going to minister and you're going to go, there's no ways I'm ever going to do that. And you'll run. Okay? Jonah, good example. Anakantu. The other one, why the Lord sometimes doesn't tell us exactly, and he will show you partially, but not exactly what you're called for to do, is because pride will step in, and that's where most of us can just put up our hands right there. I'm first. Because pride steps in. Because you're going to go to someone and say, listen, do you know what I'm called for? God said to me, I'm the prophet of all prophets. Have you met people like that? I have. I met myself. So God, the only reason why he won't show you the full picture is that. Okay? But he'll always give you glimpses. He'll always give you parts. And the part that he gave to me was out of Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I have made you a tester of metals that you may determine the quality of my people. So sometimes it might feel like I'm staring right through you or that I'm testing you and stuff. It's not at all. It's an anointing that's on my life. Fred May has this anointing. I never understood it. I'd be really cool, calm, and collective, except when I'm around Fred May. in the beginning. I would walk out there and convince that this man was convinced that I'm an absolute idiot and that I must be the most unsaved, the biggest mistake he's ever made. Because I'd be saying the most random stuff and I'd go home and I'm like, God, what was that? Like, I was going to go say that and I ended up saying that. I don't know where that came from. You know what? Fred May is the same. He's a tester of the metals. That was my true heart. And whether I wanted to accept that or not, that's what it was. The awesome thing was I could go home and go deal with it. So the Lord wants to show you why people are the way they are around you. Why he's created you the way he's created you. Because you know what? When you understand that part of you, you're not going to feel so weird and out anymore. For many years, I came from a very more traditional church. We were happy, bappy, clapped. We were confused. I wasn't sure if we were the most traditional or the most Holy Spirit church that existed, but we were definitely both. But I didn't fit in anywhere in the church. I really didn't. And no one could tell me, but you're actually just okay. See, the way I got into deliverance, I know I've shared this before, the Lord threw me into a situation where I had to learn deliverance. Right there on the spot. I had no cooking clue how it worked. And the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, taught me step for step how to do deliverance on someone. To that point, I've never even seen a demon. That was welcome to ministry for me. I was in high school. When there's this voice speaking out of a person, and this person is your friend, but it's not your friend anymore. And so you start thinking, but there's something wrong with me, or there's something weird. No, there's something amazing about you. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you what it is. He wants to partner. If you're willing to be meek, and if you're willing to go through that fire, that you can take the Holy Spirit into the city, to the people that are lost. I've absolutely lost myself now. Okay. All right. Acts 9. Then the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the, everyone, fear of the Lord and in the of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. See, there's something amazing that the Holy Spirit does. He comes to bring you comfort. If I had to ask, how many of you experience God's peace? I'm not going to ask. But I would be rather interested to know how many people can actually say they experience God's peace all the time. I can't. I really wish I could. My wife will tell you I definitely don't. I'm too much of an energizer bunny or something. But one day I was out of ministry for a long time and I was very confused. I thought, God will give you a dream. And my dream is always to be in the pulpit. I know it's not an amazing dream. I know it's not a very big dream, but that was my dream from the age of yay high. My first prophecy was by Uncle George in my crazy church back home. And Uncle George came, led by the Holy Spirit. And he came to my father and he laid his hands on me and he said, "The son. He's called to be a pastor." And so my dad looked at Uncle George. Said, "No, you got the wrong son." True story. True story. You got the wrong son. Uncle George looks at my dad and he goes, "No. This one." And my dad looks at me again, because Ryan and I, we look and sound definitely the same. And that stage, we looked even more the same. And again, my dad says, Uncle George, you're thinking of Ryan. And Uncle George shakes his head. And Uncle George says, no, you've got the wrong son. You see, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you speak truth that releases. And so the Lord is good. He puts me in ministry at a young age. Altus and I were still doing crazy things for God, working for the church. They made me youth pastor. And in my second year of living the dream, God says to me, leave ministry. It's something I dreamt all my life about. And the Lord says, leave ministry. And I was disobedient, as we would all be. And I said to the Lord, okay, I'll do it at the end of the year. It was about 6 months, probably longer. And I finally stepped out. Ewald actually stepped in and helped to save the day as I stepped out. And then I went into a very dry time of my life. And about 6 years later onwards, you start questioning the dreams that God has given you, those things that the Lord has laid in your heart. It literally dies. And I remember two occasions that I came to God and I said, God, I can't anymore. Am I still called to be in ministry? Am I still called to equip the saints? Is it still something that you're about? Was I deceived? Was Uncle George wrong? Did he have the wrong child? And so I spoke to God, and I put out my fleece. Now, I don't know how bold you are when you put out your fleeces. You might say, Lord, if it rains tomorrow, it might rain tomorrow, there's a chance then. I did the following. It was just before my birthday. I said to God, God, I want a katana sword. It's a samurai sword, a ninja sword, the katana. You know the one I wielded here last year, whenever it was, like a crazy man? Yes, that sword. That's what I want for my birthday. And if you give me that sword, then I now still have a calling for ministry. How's that for faith? I made it impossible for God to prove himself. And you know what God went and did? You will not believe it, on my birthday, the Lord gave me a katana sword. Because God is committed to the things he's spoken in your life. Because it was yes and amen when he said it. A while later, I went in and I took a sick day. I phoned my boss and I said, I need a day off. And he said, take it. Back then, I was driving the smallest motorbike known to man. It was about 2 cc's. I climbed on the bike and I drove to Franschhoek and I had breakfast there from Stellenbosch. And I wasn't satisfied. So I climbed on my bike and I rode to Hermanus. Yeah, man of faith. Man, that bike was small. It's probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. And I arrive in Hermanus and I go sit down and I'm arrogant and I'm just had it. You know when you've just had it? You sit down and you go, okay, Lord, talk to me. I'm making time for you. And God in his goodness gives me a vision, an open vision. And the beautiful thing about this vision is it's a movie. I love movies. But he's already shown me the first part of this movie early in my life. He takes me to the beginning of this movie. And he shows me this movie. And I'm just writing it down as it's flashing before me. And I'm able to stop this movie and like literally sit back and go, okay, right. And I start asking God questions. And then it'll start again. And I'm writing this whole story through. And at that point, the Lord in this scene shows me two things. That he's calling me back to ministry. He's preparing me for ministry again. And the second thing I'll never forget it. I'm in this tent, and it's a tent of healing. And there's all these broken warriors. And Jesus himself is in this room, and he's just healing everyone. And he comes up to me, and I'll never forget the face of the Lord. There was a concern in his eyes. You know, like a parent looks at their children sometimes a little concerned? And I pick up this concern, and I say, Lord, why are you concerned? What's wrong? And the Lord says something very profound to me. He said, I wanted to teach you something in the season. I wanted to teach you my rest, but you didn't learn my rest. I wanted to teach you my peace, but you didn't learn my peace. And I'm sending you back to battle. And there you'll have to learn peace. That's where I am today. I'm learning how to walk in his rest and his peace. You see, when life happens, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to have that peace in our lives. Is it not so? Okay? We've got deadlines hanging over our heads. We've got mortgages. We've got MTN. We've got all these things hanging over our head. And we step out of the rest of God. We step away from the comforter that is the Holy Spirit. And we start to miss what God's doing in our lives. Transcendent peace. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If you go read the epistles, it's really interesting how many times the writers greet each other with peace. And they speak peace over one another. It's really beautiful. And I'd really suggest you go get, if you don't have eSword, it's free, it's on the internet. And you can go download the word peace and it will show you every time that it's written in Scripture. Another little tidbit. See, the Lord wants us to learn his peace. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. And the last scripture, Hebrews 4. God's promise to entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For the good news that God has prepared his rest has been announced to us, just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they did not share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. You see, the devil comes and brings doubt. He causes us not to trust the Lord. He brings doubt. And when that doubt comes, we stop believing. And when we stop believing, we step out of rest. And what I believe the Lord wants you to learn and wants us to learn this evening, and it's something that he has to do by his Spirit, is that we step back into that rest. Psalms 23, I don't have it on the slides, says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sometimes, unfortunately, the Lord must make us lie down. The old King James says, he maketh me lie down. There's a still water that the Lord needs to take us through. He has to take us through that purity. He has to shape us in the shape that he can take us when he has to take us so that we can be in his rest. When you are in the will of God, you are in the rest of God. when we were praying this evening, Rudolf had a beautiful vision during intercession. And it was of someone that was like he was in the ocean, and he's looking up. And although the storms might be quite stormy up there at the top, where he was, there looking up, it's peaceful, it's calm, it's safe. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of what God's speaking to us this evening and telling us, I've got a hidden place, I've got a secret place, I've got a special place that I've called you to be in, that's called my rest, that you may act out of my rest. You see, we so fast go to the flesh, we so fast go to striving just to get it done, just to keep alive, just to keep going. When last has the Lord used you mightily? When last has the Lord used me mightily? It's questions that I ask myself. When last have I had a vision where the Lord speaks? See, God's calling us into that Sabbath rest, that place where we can know Him in rest. It's very interesting, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's really interesting to watch the church, coming back to the tester of hearts, the test of metals. Can I say that I see something that's very interesting? I see a lot of us moan. I moan too, trust me, ask my wife. I'm the king of moaning. And it's really interesting how opinionated we are as Christians. It's interesting how opinionated we are as South Africans. You can ask any South African what's wrong with the rugby team, with the Springbokkies. And every South African will explain to you, the only person that doesn't know is the coach. Isn't that incredible? We all know exactly what's wrong with the coach and what he's doing wrong and what the team's doing wrong and who's the right player and who's the wrong player. Most of us have never played a rugby game in our lives. Many of us have not played provincial rugby ever. Is that not so? But boy, do we know how it works. We're very opinionated. I'm going to say something that's going to offend all of us. Because it offended me. Go pray about this. God does not give us the right to opinions. The gospel is not an opinion. I hope that answers a question when someone asks you, listen, I've got this situation, what do you think? It's best to go, buddy, I have no cooking clue. Let me go pray with you and for you before I give you my 2 cents worth. Now, I'm very opinionated, so the Lord needs to deliver me massively, okay? Luckily, I'm wise enough to know I know nothing about rugby, so I'm not going to go there. But I do go there in other areas in my life. It's interesting for me. So we've been changing the cell structure a little bit, getting a little closer to home. If you're a visitor, we really believe in fellowship. We really believe in accountability. We really believe in walking lock shields together, as Brendan was sharing. Please don't just come to Sunday church. We don't know you. We can't help you. Partner with us. Or partner with the church that God's called you to partner with. Let's walk together. It's really interesting. We've been changing the cell structure. And people have been moaning with us and saying, we have too much cell. I can't every week come to cell. So we go, okay, we pray about it. And we ask the Lord for strategy. Please hear what I say. We pray about it. We ask the Lord for strategy, and the Lord gives us strategy. Would you know what the biggest complaint is at the moment? I can't understand why we have so little cell. Glad we can all share my frustrations. It's time, guys, that we hear more from the Holy Spirit than what we are led by our own devices. Now, please, I'm not picking on any of you. I've known more about Cell than any and all of you put together. You can ask Anari. But I did myself a favor and went and sat at God's feet and I asked him, what does he feel about ourselves? Where are we going? What are we doing? God partners with us. He's partnering with you in your job. Lord, what am I supposed to do with Johnny over there? Because if Johnny opens his mouth one more time, I will introduce him to Chuck Norris. Lord, what must I do with that Berghi? Because if that Berghi at that corner one more time tries to manipulate money out of me. Invite God into your daily life so the Holy Spirit can show you where to go. If we cannot hear God individually, can we go to that slide again with the Michael, row your boat ashore? If we can't hear God individually, we're not going to hear God together, corporately. See, God calls us to work in teams. That's his heart. It took me a long time to get this. His heart is teams that we row together, that we share the load. That's God's heart. That we lock shields, as Anri was preaching a few weeks ago. So that we can get in unity where God's calling us to go. It is so important that we hear God's voice. Not one of us, not some of us, all of us. It's called relationship. You know that I can be married to Matty and not have a relationship with her? Do you know that? You can be married to someone and not have a relationship with them. You're just married. I'm seeing more and more, the longer Christians walk the road of the Lord, the bigger temptation that is. I was sharing this morning service. Do you know how I know if someone's a young Christian? Youngly saved in the Lord? Do you know how I know? They phone me 3 o'clock in the morning and they ask me questions about Scripture. Wow, eh? Isn't that awesome? Remember those days? Do you know how I know someone's no more walking like that with the Lord? They stop phoning me 3 o'clock in the morning, asking me questions. Sometimes we have to go back and think, where am I? Why has God put me on this earth? What's this all about? And I know a lot of you are going through this because I'm speaking to a lot of you. And a lot of us are going, Lord, why am I here? Why have you called me to Shofar? Why have you called me to Cape Town? Those are good questions. And I ask that you endure with those questions. Persevere with those questions so the Lord can answer them. But sometimes you have to get out of the building into the wind. If you've closed your mind for the Holy Spirit to minister to you, he can't minister. So if there's A, B, C, D, E, F as a possible way that the Lord can speak to you, and you close off A, B, C, D, and E, and you only have F, guess what? It's going to be harder for the Lord to explain to you exactly what's going on if you've closed that off to him. He can only use the avenues you have. A couple phoned me a while back. Matt and myself. And they asked for advice. On a real serious scenario, situation in their life. And I really honored them for doing that. I really did. Because they really wanted to hear from the Lord. Only problem was the following. They didn't like what I had to say. They also didn't like what all the other Christians had to say because we all said the same thing. They were waiting for someone to confirm what they wanted to have confirmed. Guess what? The Lord will confirm it finally. Somewhere you'll get someone that will confirm it. Forget the 99% of people that's telling me this is not a good thing. That one person will agree with me. That's why we walk together. You see, a lot of other people don't phone me. They don't even bother. They just change jobs. And when I ask them, well, you know, who have you spoken to about it? No one. Okay. What does God have to say about it? I don't know. Okay. So, you got to start asking yourself, is God in your job or not? Does he care what you do for a living? Please hear me out. God speaks to each one individually in different ways. I'm not saying if you've never prayed about anything, he doesn't lead you or guide you. Please hear my heart. It also depends on your faith and how long you've been walking with the Lord and how much you can hear him. But I've learned a trick. You see, I made a vow to myself because I'm such a slow learner. I decided I'm going to learn from other people's mistakes. It's always a good place to learn. So one of the places I learned from people's mistakes is I watch motorbike accidents. Serious, I do. You know why? Because I ain't going to be doing 180 around a corner. I'd like to do 180 around a corner. I ain't never doing 180 around a corner. I learn from their mistakes. I learn from the Holy Spirit that I'm not going to force down my doctrine on anyone. If you want to know what I think about the situation, come and ask me. I will pray, and I will then tell you. If you're not going to ask me, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to take that place in your life if God doesn't. If the Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you, I'm not going to do it neither. That's called love. That's how we walk here. But if you are going to walk in the light, and you are going to walk in love, and you are going to walk in that place in accountability, I'm willing to partner with you, to hear on behalf of God with you. That's why we have one another. See, the Lord will always give you a peace. And when I say a peace, now you get peace and you get real peace. So when God called me to Cape Town many a year ago, and I'm wrapping up. When God called me 2.5 years ago to Cape Town, guess what? I hated Cape Town. I didn't want to be in Cape Town. I got issues with Cape Town. But to be honest, I did have experience with the southern suburbs, and they're just different. They're just weird. But I really had a bad experience in Cape Town. My experience was that Christians are fake. That was my experience. That's what I experienced. I happened to be around a lot of Christians that were very fakey Christians. They said one thing and they lived a total different life. So my experience of Cape Town and Christianity was really, really, really bad. I can go into it further, but I'm not going to. So when God called me to Cape Town, he had to give me an inner peace. So everything outside of me is going, hell no. But my spirit is saying yes and amen. It's a peace that transcends understanding. Sometimes it takes us a little longer to get there. When I was in the Philippines, some of you know I do disaster management as well. I do it all. Monday to Sunday. Chuck. My wife does the accounting, so I don't do it all. Okay. So I'm in the Philippines, and it's really crazy, and I can't explain to you how crazy was. It was crazy. On top of being absolutely crazy, because there's no structure, there's no physical structure, there's no toilets, there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no roads, there's no nothing. Okay, I'm there. Best of all, I'm the only Caucasian living in the place where I'm living. I found out later why. You see, I was nearly kidnapped the one night. So God sends a miracle storm This is how God works, right? Purification. He sends a cyclone, one of these cyclone, not cyclone, these tropical storms. I don't know how many of you guys have experienced tropical storms. Our demo was there. But he was in the safer place with all the other Caucasians. sorry, Chaudis. And we're driving in the storm, and it's pitch black, middle of the night. And it is coming down in directions that don't exist. The maths is astounding. The science, the physics was amazing. And the best is, there's about six of us. Now you're going, Bernie, that's not so bad. No, you're right, it's not, except we were driving puchis. In the middle of the night. One, and these are all pastors. The one pastor doesn't have a light. No light. Okay? Oh, Bernie, that's not that bad. You're right, it's not that bad. Except it's not roads. I don't know what it is, but it ain't roads. You know the roads I talk about in Africa? Luxury. There's bridges that have like concaved in those nuts. So we're driving this craziness, and it's crazy. Are you with me? Are you getting that it's crazy? The Lord gave the storm, because later on when I finally get home, I find out that there are rebels. I find out finally why every town there's armed army everywhere. Because there's rebels on this island everywhere. And these rebels were on the sides of the roads waiting for people that they can snatch. Because guess what? Caucasian means money. On a puchi, it's quite easy to take you down. These passes are doing speeds that these puchis can't do with no lights. I finally get home. I was praying one day. I've been married 3-4 months. I like, Lord, protect my wife. May she find a man that's half as great as I am. Kid you not. After a while, you're going, Lord, this is just stupid. This is crazy. So finally, you arrive home. It must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's late. And this has been week in, week out. I'm undone. On top of this, I've been manifesting for I don't know how long. Like things that I didn't know in my life were there. The Lord just takes you to this place where you're undone. I'll never forget that night. I get home. The pastors say, well, you know, something about the Philippines. They like eating. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's have supper. I'm going, I'm soaked head to toe. I'm like, I'm crying. They can't see that I'm crying because I'm so wet. I'm like, and it's freezing cold. I'm going to go to bed. So I go to our hole where we're staying, because that's what it was. No joke, it was a hotel, but the roof had caved in. There was nothing left of this hotel. And I come to my room, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, says to me, Intercessor Bernie. Never forget it. That night I was already working at the church, just pretty much started. You know what my answer to the Lord was? No. I said to God, no, clip out. And the voice goes quiet. And the voice says to me, Intercessor Bernie. And I go, no. And for 4 days, the Holy Spirit was busy with me, calling me Watchman Bernie. No, I won't go there, Lord. I will live in the Philippines before I become an intercessor again. And you start questioning, Bernie, what on earth are you doing? You just said no to the Lord. Yes, I said no to the Lord. God was so faithful because he was putting me through that fire that I could get delivered. So when I came back in January of that next year, Tiens calls me and he says, Bernie, I need you to lead intercession. I go, yes, Tiens, I know. Because God had already done the work, prepared me, spoke to me. He called me. He prepared me. He anointed me. And he put me into that position. That is what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants us that we can hear his voice so clearly in decisions that need to be made that he will guide us. Can I ask us all to stand? Can I call the band to the front, please? It is such a honor and a joy to hear God's voice. It is the greatest gift that we can have. It really is. It's the greatest gift we can have on this earth, is that the Father himself would speak to us. And this evening, if you can't hear the Lord's voice, you haven't heard it in a long time, you're in that room and you can't get out, I'm going to ask that you come, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to stand in faith together with you, that the Lord can take you out of that place into his rest. So if you're not experiencing rest, you can't get into the God's rest. If you know that's you, I'm suspecting there's a lot of us, then I'd like to pray over us. Is that all right? Can I ask that we raise our hands if we're struggling to get in the rest of the Lord? All right. Remember, what you ask is what you get. All right. Thank you for those hands. I've been around a few amazing people in my life. And you know what's so incredible about someone that really knows Jesus? You experience their peace. And when they start telling you their stories, it's like war stories. And you go, how? How do you experience that peace in that? And they'll tell you with a smile, it was hard, but God was there for me. There's a time I didn't have money, God pulled me through. There's a time where I needed a healing, God came through. I pray this evening that it will be each one of us. That the world will come to us and say, you've got peace, man. I want that peace. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, this evening we come to you and we ask you for your peace and your rest. We come and ask and say that we cannot do it without you. We come and humble ourselves before you. And we ask, Lord, that you will just come and pave a way. That we may know the still waters. That we may experience you like that vision that Rudolph had, Lord, with where we just surrendered in your absolute awe and mightiness, Lord. And we're looking up at the waves that's chopping above, but they don't bother us because we are in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we repent this evening where we've quenched you, where we've closed the door on you, where we've walked away from relationship with you. And we come and open that door again this evening and we ask that we may, that you'll come and reintroduce yourself to us. That we may sit in those quiet waters and that you'll show us Jesus again, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we so desperately need to walk in your rest. Forgive us for striving. Forgive us for moving out of that rest. Lord, even though sometimes it's harder to learn in the war times, the rest, we pray for a grace this evening that you will come and minister that peace. In Jesus' name. I hope this has helped a lot of you understand why you're going through what you're going through. And we as the intercessors will carry on praying through these things. It's our commitment to you. That the Lord will really lead us more into praying accurate prayers. For some of you, there's a spirit, there's a predator spirit that's after you. And you know, when I said it now, something jumped in your spirit. That's how you know it's you. And the Lord says that predator will not touch you, will not harm you, he will not come near you. For some of you, you're seeing a storm. It's the vision and the word that I had this morning. I feel it's the same for tonight. There's a storm brewing and it's coming for you. It's got your name on it. And the Lord says that the water will not touch your feet. And if you look up, you'll see that you are under, there's a platform above your head that protects you, that rain can't touch you. That's the covering of the Lord. That's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Don't run. The Lord says, do not run. Stand. Stand exactly where you are. That storm will not take you out. It won't wet your feet. Can we sing a song? If you're in those guys, if you feel that you need prayer this evening, you feel that you can't get out of this cycle, I want you to come to the front. If you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, this is all foreign to you, I'd love to pray and talk with you. I'd like to welcome you to the front as well. And if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, you've never had an experience like I speak about, you've never had a moment where God interrupts your day ever, or very seldom, then I want you to come to the front because there's a blockage. And we're going to break that blockage. We're going to stand together and trust that the Lord's going to break that blockage in your life.